We move on now to the Umdoni municipality. This is on the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal and the Amzintu region. A councillor, PR councillor for Al Jamaa at the Umdoni local municipality, Mohammed Asghar Khan, online with us. Mohammed Asghar, shukran for holding and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all your listeners.
Jazakallah khairan. I mean, I'm trying to this evening quantify, count the costs, and also shed a light, put onto the radar smaller areas of KwaZulu-Natal which perhaps might not be gaining as much publicity as you know, your Durbans or your Pietermaritzburgs, and perhaps the pain as well as the sense of loss even felt more deeply in these areas because the economy being much smaller and taking proportionally much larger hits. Give us an idea for people who have just seen the story in bits and pieces. What was the kind of violence that we saw in Amzintu and surrounding areas particularly, and what is the aftermath?
Yeah, shukran for having me on this program tonight. I think what must be understood before we understand the damages and the, or try to quantify the damages that have occurred in our community, we need to understand what is Amzintu. You know, people hear of Amzintu for many good things like Talim al-Haq and Qari Ismail Desai and Da'wat al-Haq Madrasa. But what must be understood, what must be remembered is that Amzintu, in terms of the Amdoni municipality, in terms of the surrounding areas, Amzintu is a town, is the economic hub of the entire area. So when you take Amzintu away, you're taking away jobs, you're taking away people's livelihoods, you're taking away people's abilities to survive, even though they may have a lot of money. For example, in Amzintu, we had approximately 8 grocery stores, you know, supermarkets. And today, it's just one that stands, that is able to trade, and the stocks are low. So even a person that may have R1 million in his bank account, he can't get a simple loaf of bread. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, there have been organizations, the ulama from different parts of the country have sent through assistance via Al-Qari Sahab and via very other sources. And people are, you know, getting had bread for the 2 weeks and got some food in. And now we see that certain shops are getting their stocks back and are trying to recover. But just taking this thing of Amzintu being the economic hub, I did a desktop exercise the other day with an engineering student from the University of KwaZulu-Natal. And we identified approximately 70 stores that have been looted. Some of those 70 have been partially looted, others completely looted and burnt. When we had a discussion with some of the business leaders in the town, we have quantified the loss of property and stock to the approximate value of 1.8 billion rand. If people understand the size of Amzintu, Amzintu is a very small one-street town. And for that amount of loss to come out from a one-street town, we'll understand that the economy of the town is absolutely destroyed at the moment. And, you know, it will take a lot for businesses to come back on their feet and to try to start trading again. I know that many people may have heard President Ramaphosa announcing great plans to assist businesses, and we will support that. But how much of that will actually really reach the people on the ground? I spoke to a businessman today, you know, he has the foreign national, a Pakistani brother, who told me that he had people's phones in for repairs, 400 of those phones. He wants to know how can he replace those, because people are asking him to replace it. So in terms of the cost and the damages, it's absolutely great. But we need to focus as a community on rebuilding, because Amzintu is the economic hub, and without Amzintu, I don't see the towns around us surviving for very long also.
Give us an idea then of the town. Again, many people have done, this kind of walk-through type of footage of towns, the eerie scenes afterwards. I mean, if you take Amzinto on a usual business day, the start of the week tomorrow before all of this happened, and how it typically looks when people will set about driving on the main street tomorrow. Give us a feel of that.
A Monday morning, a morning where school is taking place, you'll find taxis, you'll find buses coming into the town to bring students in. And those students then buy from the little takeaways and small stores on their way to school, maybe their lunch or something to eat at the end of school. You'll find a lot of informal traders on the side of the road who used to, maybe selling some fruit or vegetable for those students, and then people going to work just buying something. You look at the big supermarkets in the town, approximately just two or three of them were employing the wholesale guys, and the supermarkets were employing probably around 400 to 500 people. And the taxi industry is going to feel it now, because they're not going to have those feet using their transports to come into the town. You'll find the schools that are coming. There's a lot of people. I spoke to some of the parents just 20 minutes ago, and they are scared to send the children to school because of threats, the violence that are going to take place on children, and what's happening in Phoenix, and it's spreading around. So there's a general sense of fear within the society, within the town. In terms of the businesses, we're finding that certain of them are doing cleanup operations, whatever stocks they may have had in the stock rooms and warehouses, they're putting it out, so that although under very trying circumstances and very difficult circumstances, they are trying to get life to resume to normality, but in an abnormal circumstance. I was in one of the local hardware stores today where they were cleaning up and putting some of the stocks back onto the shelves. And although they're trying, there's a lot of things that they won't be able to put back on the shelves immediately. So, the impact is great. People's lives are going to be impacted negatively. And we just make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, replaces what was lost with something better. And I think the ulama that have visited the Amzinto have come with a message of consolation for the businessmen, for the people of the town. And I think it's time now that we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us with mercy.
Mohammed, inshallah, certainly that's the most important element in this equation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously accept those du'as and all the efforts being made as you've outlined there. I want to get an idea then as well, from a localized perspective. We've heard of the modus operandi in many areas of how there was instigation, how very strategically target locations were targeted, how it was people who came with vehicles to loot, and thereafter there were just average looters who came after that, and there were separate groups who were there just to destroy. Do we see the same hallmarks in this area? What do we know about the kind of perpetrators who targeted Amzinto particularly, and any closer are we to understand what did they seek to achieve as well as bring them to justice?
I think it's very important that you noted there were different types of looters. There were those guys who came with the brand new Fortuners and brand new Toyota cars and Rush, and you could name it, the Ford Rangers and those type of vehicles that were looting beds and fridges and stoves and the likes. Then you had the average looter who was just walking around trying to see what luck he can get, for lack of a better word. And then you had the third type of people who were going into stores after the stores were looted, and going to the offices, the office areas of the stores, and trying to break the safes open. A local, one of the butchery managers informed me that two safes were broken from his store, and you know, a large sum of money was taken because the Saturday's takings were still in the safe. So you had those type of looters who were there, and I think everybody they had a different purpose. There are some speculation that certain people have looted the stores to open businesses in other areas because it was, you know, they had stock. So you had these different types of people. With regards to the police and the involvement, they were very minimal involvement. You know, we were surprised at the lack of cooperation that we received from the police on the first day, on the Monday. On the Tuesday, the police came to the party and we were able to drive the people out of the town. The local businessmen, both Muslim and even non-Muslim businessmen, they took it upon themselves to protect their stores and protect the businesses of the town. But unfortunately, due to the you know, the sheer number of people, it was virtually impossible to stop much of the looting that took place. There was a store here in Amzinto where the looters started looting at 4 in the afternoon, and the next morning after Fajr, maybe after 8 to 9 o'clock, they were still loading the vans and taking things away from that store. So there were different types of looters. Have the police now, there is information circulating around who has, you know, who instigated it, who was responsible for it. But I don't think the police have made any arrests so far. I think the threat of these businesses being now, you know, extorted is still rife. There were maybe some businesses who gave in to certain people, and now they're going to be extorted, and we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. But there's speculation going around the town, and people have been informing us, you know, unofficially, that this is happening, and unfortunately some businessmen seem to have given in to the extortion from certain sectors.
So a final one. Again, we came out of the like of a president's address earlier, and I don't want to spend too much time on that or you know, get your views on that. But you hear these high level plans, you hear some generalities thrown around. But for a people in a town like Amzinto, it is, at the end of the day, this is a place that people call home. This is a place where people are employed. This is where people have their businesses. And, you know, for a moment, you know, the wider KZN doesn't really matter that much. The wider country doesn't matter that much. And it's really down to the individual. It's down to the town and how they pull themselves out of this. In terms of practical measures to pick up the pieces, is there a kind of community sense of what's going to happen next and how the community perhaps wants to recover from this?
I think many people look up to government and government's governmental structures to provide leadership on this matter. So what we have done is that first and foremost, we have contacted parliamentary officers, and we have contacted Mr. Hanif Hendricks to assist us because he sits on the small business portfolio to see what governmental resources can be channeled to something like Amzinto and some places like Amzinto so that we can rebuild the economy. And then on the other hand, we're looking at non-governmental sources in the sense of those who have left Amzinto. There are many professionals, many businessmen who have left Amzinto and have settled in other parts of South Africa. Some have even settled overseas. And we are trying to rally support from them to, you know, so to say, provide seed funding for those businesses who may have lost everything and are not insured and won't be able to recover from this without assistance from others. So that exercise has begun. Those negotiations have started to get those individuals to assist with seed funding to the local businesses, especially the small businessmen who were living hand-to-mouth, going to work for the day so that you could earn something to provide for their families. and employing one or two staff in their stores, and that was the lifeline and lifeblood of those people. So that's the plan, and the vision going forward is to mobilize the community, especially those who have left Amzinto, to give back something to the town that built them and shaped them and molded them into whatever they are today, and has given them success wherever they are today.
Indeed, and just takes us back to that dua that you referenced a bit earlier, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that people will be replaced for their losses and be granted something much, much better. It's obviously bleak to look at the bottom of the barrel and start up once again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely make it easy, and for yourselves as well in the front line to obviously strengthen you to continue to fulfilling the important leadership role. Jazakallah khairan for your time, Muhammad Asghar, and barakallahu fik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and shukran for having me.
Jazakumullah khairan. Just painful, obviously, to listen to what it means for a small town that was obviously the lifeblood of many other towns, as pointed out there by Muhammad Asghar Khan. He is a Al Jamaa PR counselor at the Amdoni local municipality in Amzinto. I'll leave you off this evening with Sheikh Ahmed Didat, a few minutes, and this is just another perspective to throw into it. We obviously analyze all the angles are important, but we also realize as Muslims that we have a bigger responsibility, and this is just a reminder to myself and everybody else of our bigger responsibility to our countrymen, and that is to spread the word. And this is from Sheikh Didat's famed lecture, Da'wah or Destruction. From myself, Shuaib behind the controls, and the rest of the team at Radio Islam, till we chat again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.